Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. That's that old school bell that calls you to class. So go get your Bible, and we'll be studying it together in just a moment. We are studying a series of lessons on the life of Christ and a harmony of the Gospels, meaning that these lessons are being taken from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we just completed in our last class period a study of the Sermon on the Mount, and in particular what Jesus was teaching us about prayer. We're looking at Elam's notes for our Sunday school lessons he had prepared for the Sunday schools of October the 12th, 1924. And in those old Sunday school notes are the words of an old hymn about prayer that you may have recently sung in a worship service. It goes like this: Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joy I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desire for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every prayer and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. When I think of that hymn that was written by W.W. Walford, and when I sing that hymn, I think of more than prayer. I think of prayer as a synecdoche, that is, a part for the whole. And I think about the hour we come together as worship. That whole hour can be thought of, in a sense, as an hour of prayer. In the psalm, it talks about the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desire for thy return. And with such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face and gladly take my station there. Well, I think of going into the assembly with others that love our Lord and engaging in an hour of worship that certainly includes prayer, both spoken and in song, and then to hear from his word. If you are not a regular attendance to worship, you're missing out, because it is a sweet hour. In fact, those times that we gather together for worship are the sweetest hours of the week. And the Christian that loves God and loves to honor him can almost think of his life as a series of events tied together by a golden chain of worship service after worship service after worship service, where we attend and come before the presence of God, all in anticipation of that day when we will come before him with all the saints of all the ages in heaven and worship him forever and ever and ever. Indeed, what a sweet hour of prayer. Now, with that, I turn the page in this old Sunday school book that I have, and I come to the notes that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of October the 19th, 1924. And we're going to begin studying the parables, and particularly the parable of the sower. And the text for this is Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. 20. Now, before we turn to Mark chapter 4, 1 through 20, and begin this Sunday school lesson, I want you to remember that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. We are our meeting house. It's located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now read together with me. If you have your Bible open, we're going to start looking at the parables of Jesus. And I'm going to read to you from the book of Mark, verses 1 through 20. And I'm reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. And here's what we read. And again he began to teach by the seaside. And there is gathered unto him a very great multitude, so that he entered into a boat and sat in the sea. And all the multitude were by the sea on land, and he taught them many things in parables, and said to them in his teaching, Hearken, behold, the sower went forth to sow. And as it came to pass, as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. And others fell on rocky ground, where it had not much earth, and straightway it sprung up, because it had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And other fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell into the good ground, and yielded fruit, growing up and increasing, and brought forth 30-fold, and 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Matthew 4, verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parables. And he said unto them, Unto you is given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest haply they should turn again, and it should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how shall you know all the parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard, straightway cometh Satan, and taketh the word which hath been sown in them. And these in like manner are they which are sown upon the rocky places, who, when they have heard the word, straightway receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, straightway they stumble. And others are they which are sown among the thorns. And these are they that have heard the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And those are they that were sown upon the good ground, such as hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. The sower soweth the word. And the devotional reading is the first psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of Jehovah, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Jehovah knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Now turning to Elam's notes regarding the Sunday school lesson, we see that this parable was told by the Sea of Galilee near Capernaum. Now, Jesus is now using a different method of teaching, that of speaking in parables. He draws from the world of nature and from the lives of men facts to illustrate and inform the truths and principles of his spiritual kingdom. This was not a new method of teaching. It was common among the Jews and in the East. Jesus did not use it, however, at first. At the time this lesson, he gave a series of 9 parables. 7 in Matthew 13, and the one of the candle, and the one of the growing of grain in Mark chapter 4, verses 21 and verses 26 through 29. All of these parables should be read in connection with this lesson about the parable of the sower. They illustrate different features of the kingdom of heaven. A parable, literally, is placing one thing by another. It is therefore a comparison of two things. A parable is not a proverb, not a fable, not a myth, not an allegory. A parable is based on literal historic facts or supposed cases which may occur, which are natural, and with which people are familiar. Why should Jesus use supposed cases when the world was full of real occurrences? Smith's Bible Dictionary enumerates 31 parables of the Savior. I want to take time and some time to look at them all and see if they do not seem like real occurrences when you read them. I remember from a Sunday school class many years ago, our Sunday school teacher taught us to think of a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, Matthew chapter 4 begins telling us that Jesus began to teach by the seaside. Jesus had taught there before in the past and would continue to teach there many times. It was a convenient place to teach. Matthew 13:1 says, "On that day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and there gathered unto him a great multitude." Luke chapter 8 and verse 4 says, "They of every city resorted unto him. They had heard him as he went from city to city, and had seen his miracles, and had followed him to Capernaum." Every class mentioned in this parable was represented. It is strange that such multitudes thronged Jesus, and yet so few truly followed him. To avoid the pressure of this great multitude, Jesus sat in a boat in the sea and taught the people who stood on the encircling shore, where all could easily hear. And it is there that Jesus taught them many things in parables. He began by saying, "Hearken!" Jesus desires that all should hear and heed what he said. And in verse 3 he said, "Behold, the sower went forth to sow." I sometimes wonder, as I think of Jesus there by that sea, looking out at the crowd before him and the hills beyond, if perhaps there was not at that very time a sower going forth to sow in his field, and the people could see him scattering the grain where he was off in the distance. And thus Jesus was able to use this to illustrate the truths he was about to teach them. Well, this is a common parable and a lovely one. We're going to look at it more when we come together in our next class. So you might want to mark Mark chapter 4.